Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Everybody in the back row, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, good. Sorry, I got this big smile on my face. Nothing that you did. Don't you just love the Lord? The only one who could ever take the initiative. When no man seeketh after God. No, not one. He takes the initiative. When we desired him not, he takes the initiative. When we loved him not, he takes the initiative. When we knew him not, he takes the initiative. He's just so merciful. El Shaddai doing what man could never do. Giving unto the soul of man everything. Whether man recognizes the preciousness of Christ or not. I woke up this morning and I'm thankful to the Lord. I was talking to Raven earlier and I finally got some bit of encouragement of the Lord on what to share. Yesterday I covered a lot and I don't know if you caught that, but a lot was covered. And all of it was relating to this great transition of the heart. And I say the great transition of the heart because in reality, at the moment of new birth, the Lord hath transitioned our soul unto himself, translated unto himself at the moment of new birth, because Christ appeared in our soul. If Jesus, the Son of the living God, the ever-eternal Messiah, Christ, were not present in our soul, then we would have never been brought unto God. He must be present. He must be present. And in him being present, our souls are now found in him, in union with him, something we never had before. Never. All that God had to offer, all that God has to offer, and all that God will ever have to offer is his Son. He never said, this is my beloved message. He never said, this is my beloved teaching, my beloved doctrine. He never said, this is my beloved testimony. He said, this is my beloved Son. And see, the testimony, it is of God. Remember, everything that is of God is designed of God, purposed of God, to direct and bring the heart unto Christ his Son. If the thing, whatever it is of God, it is without doubt designed of God, purposed of God, to direct and bring the heart unto Christ his Son. First, in reality, this is the moment of new birth. Then, in God's very own knowledge, unto the knowledge of reality. By God's very own Spirit. And all this is a work of the Spirit. Remember, El Shaddai. Man cannot. With man, it is impossible. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. This is El Shaddai. The Lord himself having to take the initiative, being so merciful to do what man cannot do. And so, continuing on with that, I wanted to look at what I call a little journey of the heart. And in just with what I'll share this morning, what has already been shared by all the speakers thus far and what will be shared, please know this. I'm going to read one verse, and I want you to take it to heart, and I want you to present it to the Lord. Because this is like a conference time. It's like a family time. You know, as Brother Lumen had mentioned, There are members of this family who have been members of this family a long time, and then there are members of this family who are maybe new. It's conference time. It's family time. And yet for the Lord, every time, every place, every location, every season, every generation is his time, where he takes the initiative to do what only he and he alone can do, to prepare the ground of our heart, that by the work of his Spirit, our heart may turn and behold everything we were ever created for, to behold this in the person of his Son. This is the Lord's time. The verse is in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll just go ahead and read it. This is Peter speaking his epistle to a church. You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This light that shines in a dark place is the light of the testimony that shines in our heart. That's the light that shines in a dark place. It's the light of the testimony, the light of the testimony of the scriptures themselves, because the scripture is the testimony of Christ himself. And it is the light of the testimony of the ones who are declaring Christ as well. And I'll do it this way. The light of the testimony that shines in our hearts. But Peter says this, you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And here it is. Don't just stay with the light of the testimony. I can say this because I stayed with the light of the testimony for so long, and I saw Jesus in the scriptures as I've never seen before. And please understand, that is a miracle of God. You cannot do that. The Spirit of God must do that. To see Christ in the testimony requires a miracle of God. Saul of Tarsus knew the scriptures. He never saw Jesus until God Almighty was so merciful unto him, step in, appeared, and changed everything forever. Then he began, by the Spirit of God, to see the only one there is to see in the scriptures. If you think of the summation of the whole entire scriptures, I think I mentioned it yesterday, the summation of the whole entire scriptures, everything. I love the way Daniel mentioned it. It is not the list of do's and don'ts. The summation of the entire scriptures is behold the Lamb of God. That is it. God did not give us a book on how to better improve ourselves, how to be better in this world, how to live a better life, how to be like Jesus. Nothing like that. The summation of the scriptures are behold the Lamb of God. When Jesus called his first disciples, actually when after John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, two of his disciples left him. This is they followed Jesus. There you see the ministry of God. There you see one who was actually serving not his own ministry, but the ministry of God Almighty, the eternal ministry throughout the ages. Behold the Lamb of God. And there go two of John's disciples, and they follow Jesus. And not only that, but having been with the Lord, now those two disciples are going and testifying, declaring, giving testimony of the one whom they are following. And then might have been Nathaniel, forgive me, I can't remember. It's all in John, the Gospel of John. To one that they came to, they said, we've found him, the Messiah of whom Moses and the prophets spake, Jesus of Nazareth. And then so his response is like, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Listen to the response of the disciple who had been with the Lord. He didn't argue. He didn't debate out of the scriptures. Okay, well, let me show you right here in the scripture. Says this right here, out of Nazareth. Or this other passage over here. Da, 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 da. Or, because I've seen that in commentaries where they actually go there with that. No, he said, come and see. This is what we should be left with after we hear a testimony, after we hear a message, after we hear a doctrine, after we hear a preaching, after we hear a teaching, after we hear anything concerning Christ. See, whether we realize it or not, the Spirit of the Lord is stirring our heart for that very thing. Not for us to be satisfied, oh, I've got the message now. I've learned it forwards and backwards. I'm able to communicate it. Oh, God's not impressed with that. If the testimony has had its perfect work in our heart, if we have indeed heard and learned, not just heard, but actually learned from God the Father, we will come unto Christ his Son. That's what Jesus said. Now, who do we want to hear? Who do we want to learn from? Jesus said it this way, therefore, any man, if he has heard God, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Come and see. There's no debate with God. He doesn't have to debate. He's settled. He's secure. He knows what it's all about. We're the ones who don't. And yet he bids us come and see. That's the light of the testimony, what it does in our hearts. It births in our hearts. It stirs in our hearts that expectation. Like the Queen of Sheba. We believe the testimony, but it motivates us to come and see. And yet, remember, no man can come unto Jesus except the Father draw him. So in the merciful cry, Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Do that which only you can do. For if I come in my own strength, I have not come at all. Bring me, Lord, unto the desire of all ages. Bring me unto your Son, that I may know the one whom you yourself have placed within my soul. This treasure that natural eye cannot see, that natural mind cannot know, cannot reason, cannot consider, would never even consider. Do that, O Lord, which only you can do. So I have this makeshift map on the board. Not sure if you can kind of figure it out, but basically, this is Jordan, okay? This is the River Jordan. This is Galilee. This is the Dead Sea. And if you notice, this is a time after the kingdom of Solomon. This is when the kingdoms were divided, when you had Israel and when you had Judah. And so here it represents the kingdom of Israel, or at least this portion of the map. This portion of the map represents the kingdom of Judah, which basically it's all Israel. It's all basically what Solomon had left, and then it got divided up in between Israel and Judah. So the passage that I had, just to share a little about this morning, it's funny. I've got it right here. I don't know if you all can see that. It's nice and colorful, but it's in Spanish. So I need to find a passage where I actually printed it off in English. Or I may just read it from over here. It is 2 Kings chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. And I wanted to give a little background just real quick. There's two main characters in this passage, in this little short journey. It's Elijah and Elisha. And first of all, I wanted to mention that I was looking at commentaries and different ones, dictionaries and lexicons concerning the term actual Elijah. And looking at Elijah and looking at, where's the word? The very first mention of Elijah in the scriptures, in Elijah, the Tishbite. I was looking at Tishbite also. And everyone says, well, it's here, or well, it's over here, or it's over here, and it's west of this, and this and that. And basically, Elijah, I believe, was an Israelite. And I think I read somewhere, and they're not sure, because the word Tishbite meant something like stranger, where it says the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, strangers among the strangers, kind of. It doesn't really change anything, because whether he was born an Israelite or not, salvation has been offered unto all, both Jew and Gentile. Okay. Elisha, he is. I mean, I actually pinpointed and found it out. You know, they all agree, you know, he's an Israelite. Okay, fine. Born in Israel. Born in the kingdom. Born in the kingdom. He had his birth in the kingdom. He had his birth in the land. He had his birth in purpose. This wasn't his doing, of course. It was the doing of another. It was actually the doing of El Shaddai. Man can't do this. See, we think of like a baby, a newborn. Well, we know that that baby had nothing to do with its birth, being conceived, and its birth. No. And we think, okay, it was the parents. It makes sense. They did the work. Here's the baby. And yet Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew that the birthing was not of man. They knew that the seed was not of man. If God, El Shaddai, did not step in, nothing. Their wives would remain barren. They were so dependent upon El Shaddai, upon the only one who can. That's why they, in the New Testament, they cried out unto Jesus. I love this. Jesus, thou son of David. That phrase, thou son of David, acknowledging him as the Messiah, everything they were waiting for. And yet they acknowledge him, and then the request, have mercy upon me. Do that which only you can do, for with man it is impossible. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind. And I love this. Elisha had been with Elijah for some time now. I don't know how long he's been with him. But he's been with him for some time. And he's not learning how to, quote unquote, prophesy, because Elijah was a prophet. He's not learning how to teach. He's not learning how to preach. Yeah, maybe it just doesn't say that in the scriptures. Maybe he was. I don't know. We'll go on further what he did learn in our reading. There is something very unique about Elijah. The first rattle out of the box, the very first mention of Elijah in the scripture is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. This is what his heart is submitted unto. Remember, this is the kingdom of Israel. They were in the kingdom of Israel. They didn't have to do anything to be in the kingdom of Israel. A king is present, The kingdom is present. Now, what is the heart submitted unto? First Kings chapter 17, verse 1, I'll just read it. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He knew there was only one life. He knew there was only one who lives. But why? The very next phrase, before whose face I stand. Before whose face I remain. Elijah served the purpose of the Lord in his generation. He, by the Spirit of God, I believe, had been brought before the face of Yahweh, Jehovah, Lord, all caps. And by the Spirit of God, he remained before the face. Therefore, he could confess, it is not I, but the Lord. Not my words, but the Lord. Goes on further. Not my ministry, but the Lord's eternal ministry. Remember, always drawing hearts unto the Lord. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. What did John the Baptist do? Remember yesterday? Behold the Lamb of God. Now, come and see. This is what the heart of Elijah is submitted unto. He says it in another place also, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, before whom I remain. His heart was submitted to the true king, the true kingdom. He found his living, his abode, his moving in an altogether other creation. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha, here they are, both of them, from Gilgal. And I love this. I had to put it on the board. Actually, I didn't put it on the board. But I will show you somewhat. This is not to scale. Please understand. I am not Daniel Brown. This is not to scale. This is like little pictographic stuff. Gilgal, remember once again, Galilee, Dead Sea, the Jordan. Gilgal is somewhere around here. You can look on a Bible map, you'll find out. Gilgal. It's in the land. It's in the kingdom. Where does this journey, and I call it a journey of the heart, where does this journey begin? For the heart. It begins where God Almighty, El Shaddai, has brought the soul in reality at the moment of new birth. See, when one is not born again, the very moment when Christ appears in that soul, whether that person recognizes it, knows it or not, at that very moment, because Christ is present, that soul has undergone a translation. It has been brought out from this realm of sight and sound into the eternal, into Christ himself. I think Raven may have shared it last night. Someone did sometime. Seeing then, because of the fact that you are risen with Christ, that's the way Paul presents it. This is the case. You are risen with Christ. So because you are risen with Christ, and that is reality, that cannot be undone. You cannot add to it, nor can you take from it. Since this is the case, set your affection above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. And it's not just Christ sitting, no, where Christ sitteth upon his throne. We're the true king, the true government, the true kingdom is found. And everything that is found in Christ is found in the very person of Christ. And listen, who is in our soul. And so just like Abraham, the Lord appears. I mean, Abraham, he was on his merry way in Ur of the Chaldees, very educated community, civilization during the time. It was, they were on the cutting edge. You could say on the cutting edge of technology. The Lord steps in and says, the God of glory appeared. And see, I love the way, I mean, you can't begin the phrase the God of glory appeared without having seen the God of glory, without knowing the eternal purpose for which the soul was created of God. When you mention God of glory, it is all bound up in one person, Christ himself, who is the glory of God. So Stephen goes on, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Ur, Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. That very moment, whether Abraham recognized it or not, in testimony, his soul was translated from Ur. Oh, not here. Here. I don't know if you got that. This is like one-dimensional drawing here. Time, sound, place, location. And yet we are translated just as Abraham, out here, outside from below, into the eternal. And yet the heart of Abram, his name hadn't changed yet, the heart of Abram had to come unto where the Lord had already brought his soul in reality when he first appeared. And so the Lord takes the initiative, because Abram, we know, he just can't do it. Just like man, just impossible. You just underline that, highlight it, circle it. With man, impossible. With man, impossible. And one of these days, we'll get that. With man, impossible. And we'll give up and say, okay, Lord, I can't do anything. I have no clue what it's all about. But with you, all things are possible. You know what it's all about. And so finally, Abram, by the mercy of God, is brought to what we call Canaan. And what is there to find in Canaan? Which Canaan, to me, the promised land, to me, it just represents the soul. That's just to me. What is there to find? The Lord appeared. That's it. I mean, you see the journey of Abram, and this is not the journey of Abram. This is actually Elijah and Elisha. But as Abram continues on journeying, there's this one all-encompassing theme. The Lord appeared. This was and is indeed the inheritance of the soul. This is our inheritance. God gave Abram and his seed, even in the natural, an inheritance. This is our inheritance. King David said it, the Lord is my portion. And yet we know the heart of David, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, that I may behold his beauty. Who's king, David? Not me. The Lord is my shepherd. Who's the shepherd, David? Who's the pastor? Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my pastor. Who's the king? You're the king, David. Oh, maybe to you. But the Lord said to my Lord. I mean, the Lord's stepping in and doing this. What man can't do. I believe all David did was allow the Lord to do whatever he wanted to do. Which is a very scary thing, if you think about it, when we finally just, okay, Lord, there it is. Do whatever you want to do. Because it's always into the unknown, unto that which we do not know, unto that which we cannot hear, unto that which we cannot see, and unto that which we cannot understand with a natural mind. We cannot conceive. And yet this that is unknown is Christ himself. That's what Paul said. Right? Mars Hill. You know, I know you guys are religious. I know you guys, you're searching, and you've got, you know, you, you're there. And he says, but now I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you about the unknown God. The one who is present in the midst, and you know not. This is what we don't know. We know a lot of stuff. We know so much stuff. What we don't know is Christ. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. And I may be, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Forgive me if I've got those out of order. Jesus said it, and unto him unto whom I will reveal him. And yet, when the Father reveals the Son, and the Son reveals the Father, God is indeed revealing his very own knowledge. It's not our knowledge. It's his knowledge. What actually happens is that our heart, at that very moment, ceases to be submitted unto our knowledge, the knowledge of man, the knowledge below, which is complete ignorance and darkness, and is finally submitted unto the knowledge of God, whom God alone knows is the true heir, the true seed, the true king. That's actually what happens. And so then we can never claim God's knowledge as our knowledge. Remember, holding on to the manna? No, you can't do that. Once it's yours, now it's corrupt. That is why it is always God's. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's why he had nothing. He had nothing to protect when his disciples left. I mean, the Pharisees, might have been the Sadducees, but the Pharisees came. Somebody came and said, John, look, your disciples are leaving. Herein is my joy fulfilled. It wasn't his ministry that he served. He served the eternal ministry of God in every time and in every generation. The ministry that bids, come and see. So back to Elijah and Elisha. I love this. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. The journey of the heart, the great transition of the heart. Remember, it's of the heart. It's not of the mind, and it's not of the soul. Because the Lord, at the moment, the very moment he appears, the very moment that Christ appears in your soul, that is the moment of new birth. At that very moment, because Christ is present in our soul has been brought under the salvation of God. Our soul has been brought under Christ himself. Our soul has been brought before the face of God in Christ himself. But where is your heart? Or what is your heart submitted unto? See, I will mention this just because I've also been with the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Something began to govern in the house of Abraham. Well, what began to govern was basically Abraham's heart was submitted unto that which governs the house of God. Remember yesterday? Those who are in the house and those who come into the house to see the light of the house. And see, there is a testimony in the house, which is a light, the golden candlesticks. There's a testimony in the house, which is a light. That testimony, which is designed of God, purposed of God, that the heart would come to the true light that lighteth every man, Christ himself. I love it in the book of Revelation chapter 1. I just love the whole order where John says, I heard the voice that spoke behind me, that speaks behind me. It's behind him because he says, and then I turned. That's what it is. The testimony, well, actually the voice of God at that time, he turns to see the voice. And then he says this, and I saw seven golden lampstands. There's the testimony that are declaring the one in the midst. There's the testimony in the creation of God. There's the testimony in the house of God. And I love it that John didn't, he didn't, what's the word? can't think of the word. He didn't settle for the testimony, but he let the testimony have its perfect work in his heart. The testimony, that light that shined in a dark place, that declares the greater light, he allowed it to have its perfect work in his heart, that he can say, and in the midst, I saw him. That's what he goes on to say. I saw him. And a beautiful description of Christ. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. This journey of the heart begins in the kingdom of God. It begins in purpose. It begins exactly where the Lord wants you and has purposed you to be. I've mentioned this several times. But when I was a kid, I remember my mom, she would make a meal. And me, wow, I have a vivid and wild imagination. I do. I do. Don't tell me things that are literal, because I can see it. When you say it, it's like, don't tell me if it's too bad, because I'll see it. It's terrible. Some people can't do that. I can do that. I know I can do that. When I was a kid, my mom would call us, you know, all the kids, okay, dinner, lunch, whatever, it's ready. Come and eat. And I would go and sit down. And I would just, and I'm out of there. No, I'm there. I'm sitting right there at the table. And my mom would say, Jimmy, speaking Spanish to me, Jimmy, mijo, mijito, my little son, you know, my little child. You're here, but your mind is a million miles away. This may or may not make sense, but it would be good to be where we be. To be where in reality we be. When we are not being where in reality we be, we are daydreaming. Those of us who are born again, remember, translated from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been brought into the day, but what is our heart submitted unto? Are we daydreaming, where we are being somewhere where we are not? And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. I love that, Gilgal. They start here, somewhere here. In the land, in the kingdom. They're there already. Not by their own doing, but by the ability of another. The doing of another, whether they recognize it or not. Gilgal, very interesting. Even Julie was talking to me about it, and just with breaking the actual word down, the actual Hebrew word down, which I can't remember anything she said, but I'm glad she finally gave me, you know, some bit of a reference, because I want the references. See, I don't like, maybe it's just me. I like to grab a hold of something for myself. I don't like it secondhand. All that is secondhand should only serve to encourage us to come and see. That's it. Do you believe? Do you not believe? Come and see. You have your opinion, you have your doubt, you have your concept, you have your thought. Hey, come and see. God is not a debater. He's settled. He's totally at rest. He knows what is true. He knows his son. I'll say it this way. He knows our life, singular, whether we know our life or not. Let's pray. Gilgal. One of the main things with Gilgal, predominant things, I guess, in the scripture, is basically when the Israelites, under the command of Joshua, came into the land and they circumcised the children of Israel. The cutting away. The cutting away of the flesh. The cutting away of the reproach of Egypt. Finally cut away. And that's what the Lord said. I have taken away the reproach of Egypt. And what do you find? I mean, the reproach. Okay, well, I've heard it. I've read it in the scriptures. One of those things, definitions, and the term reproach is the shame. Of what was. More specifically, listen, of what was not your life. God knows our life, singular, whether we know him or not. That is a great thing when finally our hearts, by the working of the Spirit, submit unto the working of the Spirit and are directed unto our life, who Christ himself is. All the shame, all the guilt, all the, wow, man, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, why did I do that? It's not that it's forgotten. It is in the mind and reality of God that was never your life. Because Christ is your life. Whether we realize it, understand it, know it, believe it or not. It takes us out of us and leaves only one. But a tremendous understanding right there with Gilgal. It's tremendous. And that's when Joshua and the children of Israel actually crossed into the land from the Jordan. That happened then. At the crossing of the Jordan, that's when it got cut off. That's when that is when, to me, their hearts were no longer submitted unto what previous generations, or actually the previous generation that had lived in Egypt was submitted unto. Their hearts were now submitted unto an altogether new. Not new in reality, but new to them. Because remember, the Lord was present the whole entire time, whether they recognized him, knew him, or not. The stone which followed him in the wilderness was Christ. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, and I love this. You can kind of see it as like teacher-student, right? Rabbi-disciple, almost. And Elijah said unto Elisha, or maybe you can take it a step further, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Now, I've got to do this, lest I figure out. Where did we start? We started Gilgal. And please know that is not to scale. I'll confess it right now because that's not to scale. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me on to Bethel. And you can look at this so many different ways. See, Gilgal is a good place to stay, a good place to be. I mean, think about it. I don't have to deal with me anymore. My focus is not totally consumed with me. Well, it actually is. Remember, our hearts are always looking unto something less, and it's in the mercy of God that He directs our heart unto Christ. Wow, time flies. What an understanding, Gilgal. That the heart can be submitted unto. So Elijah, stay here. It's good. It's a good place. It's in the land. It's in purpose. Listen to this. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth. Where do you think he got that from? First Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whose face I stand. Elisha's heart was beginning to come in line with Elijah's heart. What governs the house of God governed the house of Abraham. Guess what governed the house of Abraham? The purpose of the house, the purpose of the creation, the purpose of the tabernacle, the purpose of the temple. Now, since that governs the house of Abraham, or shall I say the household, what do you think will now govern the house of Isaac? The very exact same thing. What do you think will now govern the house of Jacob? The very exact same thing. See, it wasn't a odd thing or a strange thing for the Lord to appear in the house of Abraham. No. And what I mean by house, I don't mean like a physical thing, like the household. That was normal. That was the norm for Abraham. When Abraham would show up to the table and say, hey guys, guess what? The Lord appeared. All right, tell us more. Tell us about it. Come on, tell us. He trained up his children in the way they ought to go. And guess what? When they're older, because they did grow up, they did not depart from it. So the Lord appeared unto Abraham. The Lord appeared unto Isaac. Yes, he did. And the Lord appeared unto Jacob. This was and is the norm. This should not be a strange thing. This should not be something new to us or something out there. No, this is the norm. Because Abraham, in his heart, submitted unto that which governs the house of God. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth. Whoa. But see, remember what the heart of Elijah was submitted unto? The Lord liveth. Who's the life? I have no life but the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, who is my life, before whose face I stand. So that's why Elisha can confess, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, because the Lord is thy life. I love this. I will not leave thee. He said nothing of a message. He said nothing of a teaching. He said nothing of a Bible class. He said nothing of an understanding. I will not leave thee. To be able to say that requires a miracle of God. The Spirit of the Lord had been working, preparing the ground of his heart to be able to confess such a confession and to be able to continue in such a desire. I will not leave thee. Our to-do is not with a message. Our to-do is not with a diagram. Our to-do is not with anything except a person. So they went down to Bethel. All right. I don't know geography-wise how it says down. And like I said, my map is definitely not to scale, because I'm going to put Bethel, whoops, wrong color. I'm going to put Bethel right here. Totally not to scale. I mean, it's only one hand breadth in distance. They took a step. No, they didn't. Sorry, that was a joke, bad joke. That's not to scale. I have no idea. I haven't searched it out. Or maybe I've read it and I totally forgot it, which is definitely possible. They went on to Bethel. Still in the land. See? They never left. At this juncture of this journey, they haven't left the land, they haven't left the kingdom, they haven't left anything. Where'd they go? To another place in purpose. They didn't go anywhere, if you look at it that way. They're still in the kingdom. They've not left the kingdom. The journey hasn't taken them out of the kingdom, hasn't taken them out somewhere else. They are still where God had purposed them to be. Yes, I will go on. I haven't seen any flashcard yet. Well, I did see one at one point, but I haven't seen the next one, so I'll go on. They went down to Bethel. We should know a few things about Bethel. The most predominant thing about Bethel, I know you guys know this. I know this. Anybody know this? Yes! First responder. I'm not sure who was over here somewhere. Yes, the house of God. The house of God. That's what Jacob confessed. Remember? Yesterday? Asleep. And yet the Lord, in his mercy, steps in and he sees this ladder, but the whole issue was not to see a ladder, but him who abode above the ladder, drawing the attention of the heart above. And he confesses, the Lord is in this place. This is nothing other than the house of God. That is what it was. During this time of Kings, Kings chapter 2, I think it might have, I can't remember which king did this, forgive me, I think it starts with a J. It's when the kingdoms were divided. They set up these calves. See, created these two golden calves and said, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Because the fear of this king was that they would go and travel all the way to Jerusalem, and then they would once again be one united kingdom. And so in this particular king's mind, to avoid this, he said, no, you don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. We'll just set up these two calves. You know, one, I think one was in Dan and the other one was in Bethel. Baal worship. worshiping a master, a husband, who is not the true master, who is not the true husband, who is not the true Lord. The true master, the true husband, the true Lord that must be made known. And so, here's the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel. I mean, think about this. The sons of the prophets, there's probably a school of prophets there. They stood for a reality of God in the midst when all others were saying, "We worship the calf that brought us out of the land of Egypt." Here are these sons of the prophets saying, "No. This is not the God that brought you out of Egypt. The one true living God is the one. This is not your house of idol worship that you've made it into. This is the house of God." Standing for the truth in their generation. Standing for the truth. All the while, Elijah is not N-O-T, standing for the truth. He is standing before the face of the truth. Ooh. Out there. If it's ours, we have to defend it. If it's the Lord's, we will declare it. He will defend his own. He will protect his own. Because he does defend his own. He does protect his own. He neither sleeps, though we sleep, and he sure doesn't slumber like we slumber. He is ever knowing his son. God does not daydream, though we may. He knows the truth. He knows his son. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha. And I've read several commentaries with these where they were true prophets. Well, they were prophets for the Lord because they recognized the authority of Elijah. They wouldn't come to Elijah, so they came to his disciple. Like to them, it was too great of a thing to address Elijah, so they addressed Elisha. But it goes on. And they came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" I saw this vision, see? Maybe even the Lord gave me this vision. Or maybe the Lord made me know this. It's the signs of the times. Know the times you're in, Elisha. Do you know what's about to happen? Look at his response. Now, I'm totally taking artistic liberty with this because it's only words. But this is me, my humor. And he said, "Yeah, I know. Hold your peace. Quiet. Shut up. Yeah, I know. Big deal. That's nothing new to me. I knew it when we began. You're just telling me something I already know." His heart is on a higher plane. Or shall I say, his heart is being drawn by the Spirit of God. "Yeah, but what about this over here?" "So? Yeah, I know that. Don't distract me, please." And Mary and Martha, "Lord, my sister, come here, help me, help me." Don't distract me, please. There's something greater at hand. Don't distract me, please. And Elijah said unto him, verse 4, "Elisha, tarry here. Tarry among the ones who are standing for the truth. Tarry here. This is good. They know the signs of the times. They know what's going on. It's a good place to stay. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. Elijah is not saying, well, I'm going over here, and now I'm going over here. No, no, the Lord is sending me. The Lord is bringing me, whether you come or not. I am going on. It's like Jesus, come follow me. Hey, no big deal to me. Either come or you don't. But the Spirit of the Lord would say, come and see. For the Lord hath sent me to Jericho, and he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha was getting from Elijah, not Elijah, not a message, not a new teaching, not a new doctrine, not a ministry. He was getting what his soul was created for, what his heart was purposed to come and see. That's it. He was in pursuit of the Almighty, of the Lord Himself. He cared not. Please do not misunderstand me. I mean, you can read about Elijah. He was pretty rough. He didn't care about that. He wanted one thing from this guy because he couldn't find it anywhere else. As thy soul, no. As the Lord liveth, completely convinced. Spending time with Elijah convinced him. As the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. There is something that I am after. We'll find that out. Not today. Well, actually, we won't even find it out tomorrow. Only the Lord can make that known. So let me mark somewhere. We got up to verse 4. Thank you, Lord. Please, as I mentioned earlier, as Peter mentioned it, you do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. This is the light of the testimony. Until, let that light of the testimony have its perfect work in your heart. Submit unto that which the Lord would do. Until the day dawn, the day star arrives in your heart.